Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump Podcast, Episode 2. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And we're back. We did it.
If we played the music, would we play it later? Because that was good, or will be good, that music. I really enjoy it.
What? It was good.
Okay, it was good, wasn't it?
People saw you fiddling around with your microphone for a brief period there, and then there was music.
And then there was, okay. Unless they're not watching, and they might be listening on the an audio platform of your choice.
Well, that's very true, and that actually complicates things because the music goes into the audio version at the intro, but for the podcast, it's just the Triple Jump intro.
Oh, stinger. Goodness me.
So there was music, but it wasn't very long.
Oh, I was talking
I'm sure
about
people
that
enjoyed
music.
It. Oh, well, you'll have to listen
music.
To the MP3. Speaking of which, the MP3, we are working on getting it on audio platforms. It is happening. iTunes, Spotify, the like, you know, you're asking, you will get it. Don't worry. For now, it's just YouTube, which is a nice video.
Lovely.
Where you can see us. But we're just waiting to hear back from our audio service provider.
We will do it when we can, and we will let you know when it's done.
Precisely. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, yeah. I'm doing pretty good.
How was your lunch? You've just had lunch.
Oh, it was delicious. I had, it was like chicken with a bit of bacon and some green stuff.
And some green stuff too.
Yeah, fresh from one of those triangular cardboard boxes from the shop.
I do wonder how sanitary those are.
Yeah?
The cardboard.
Mm.
With a little plastic window, the sad window
I try
the sandwich
to think about
just
it.
Peers at the people who are going to eat it
yeah.
out of the little sad plastic window.
You're listening to the Triple Jump Sandwich Podcast, the number one podcast for all sandwich-based information.
Well, do you remember the triple, you know, it's three, that's three, and
yeah.
there's often 3 points on a sandwich. They never cut a sandwich in half, do they? Well, they do.
Well, they do.
Not horizontally yeah. or diagonally.
Not into oblongs.
Not into oblongs.
No.
But anyway, that was your lunch.
How
I wasn't. You? I wasn't having my lunch, Peter. Thank
no.
you for asking. Because I was too busy adding adverts to our previous videos because we're now monetized.
Hashtag Peter and Ben got monetized.
We did it. We did it. So you will now see, hopefully you've got your ad block turned off. You will see some adverts. I know adverts aren't the most fun thing in the world, but they do really support us financially. So do please bear with them and try not to put that ad block on.
You should let websites do tailored ads to you, because I sort of automatically click no on that because I'm like, I don't want you storing information about when I'm Googling ballet shoes and
stools,
donkeys
and
with three legs,
small ladders and
yeah.
things.
Oh, but actually, then at least you get an ad that you'll get like game ads and stuff.
Well, you might do.
Well, you might. I can't depends guarantee.
Depends what you're looking at on
exactly,
the internet, isn't
yeah.
it? It's like that person who tweeted us once and said, look at the sponsored adverts you're getting before your videos. And it was for something really dodgy. So I think that's tailored to your interests.
I've seen a screenshot where someone has posted on like a Christian forum. And he's saying, I am absolutely... look at this. Gay porn ads on this Christian forum. And they're like, yeah, that's tailored to your Google search queries. So
welcome to Triple Jump, a video game podcast all about search terms
yeah.
and other such
sandwiches.
Things. And sandwiches. Mm. We should jump straight into a question. These, of course, are all from our Patreon and from our patrons. That's patreon.com/teamtriplejump if you would like to sign up and support us and submit questions for the podcast. The first one, Peter, is from Owen Davidson, I believe, or Eon Davidson. I like to think it might be the electronic Electronic, the electrical company.
Oh, I thought it might be Davidson. He's lasted millennia. Eon Davidson.
Oh, that's very true as well.
It's been around for eons.
Well, let us know which you think it is in the comments below. It's been announced that Reggie Fils-Aimé is retiring and Bowser is taking his place as president of Nintendo America. What do you think the aptly named new president will do with Nintendo?
Hide it in another castle, maybe?
Oh, very good. Twiddle those moustaches, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie Fils-Aimé, he's been around for ages. He's like Mr. Nintendo outside of Iwata and Miyamoto and other such famous figureheads. He's right up there with them.
He is.
Obviously, they're probably the most famed meme that he spawned, one of many, was the My Body Is Ready.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw his farewell video that he posted on Twitter.
Actually. I saw that there was a whole Twitter outpouring of, we're going to miss you.
Yeah, the PlayStation bosses said, you know, you were tweeting him and thanking him for his service to the games industry and so on. I don't think anyone's got a bad word to say against him, really.
Just Mario. Well, actually, no, sorry. He's got a bad word to say about Bowser, but...
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, Doug Bowser, the replacement, which is an exceptional name. Doug Bowser, by all accounts, is also a lovely human being.
Yeah.
And has been working within Nintendo prominently for a long time as well. Huge, huge Nintendo fan.
They've not just brought someone in who has no idea
Find
how Nintendo works.
The man called Bowser. But what I do want to know, Peter, is at what point we start getting not safe for work deviant art images of Doug Bowsette.
Oh, goodness me. That's a very good question. It may already exist.
It probably does. Rule 34 is that if it exists, there is porn of it.
I mean, there must be some Rule 34 of Reggie, I would have thought.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Reggie fills my May, am I right?
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah.
But yeah, Doug Bowsette. I think it's only a matter of time if it hasn't already happened.
Oh, goodness. That's quite... I mean, we're not really answering the question, but like, what do we think he will do with Nintendo? I mean, I don't know... I kind of... Sometimes Nintendo's a weird company because, like, in some ways, they're quite cutting edge. Like, I think the Wii was the first true, like, okay, we've done motion controls, and they kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of work. So in that sense, they seem quite cutting edge, and they're always sort of ready to do the next thing.
They're trying to innovate, aren't they?
Yeah, innovative. But then at the same time, there's a sense of, like, not, like, stagnancy, if that's a word, but...
They're very traditional.
They reuse their franchises over and over again, and that's fine, and they're popular, and that's good. But like I always find it very difficult to predict what Nintendo are going to do next, because they're either not going to do anything and just continue to make the 12th sequel in a series, or they're going to do something completely out of the blue and release like an actual console that's alive. It's made of cardboard and has motion controls, but also walks around your kitchen and like goes, haw.
But that's the thing. The haw console could well be coming to you.
It could be.
But you'll get your haw, you'll take your Nintendo haw home with you.
Yeah.
You'll unbox it. And the first game that you'll play is a two-dimensional Mario game.
Yeah.
Because that's just how it works. And all of their games, you know, are for the most part absolutely exceptional.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. But yeah, it is always just a fascinating marriage of, well, what weird way can we make people play games next?
Play the same
I don't know.
Game.
As long as Mario's on it, it's fine. I think largely things won't change too much. I don't know what kind of clout Nintendo of America had.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
beyond advertising, perhaps,
it's
and
not
marketing.
Like taking over the whole of the conglomerate, is it?
No, so. I think the ship will largely stay the same. It'll just be that Reggie will be missed from all of the wonderful Nintendo Directs that they do.
Yeah, he might still be there.
He'll cameo, surely.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, Peter, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
To what we play in.
What we play in.
This is that groundbreaking segment where we talk about what...
We...
play in. They're coming.
The What We Play in Police are on the way.
That's just the What We Play in jingle right there. Peter Austin, last time we spoke, you were jumping into that Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I was.
And playing some of that. How are you getting on?
Do you know what? Since we last spoke, I've not played much of that. So I had been playing it for several weeks up to that point and thoroughly enjoying it, you know. Yeah. I sort of try and look away from the PR disaster on launch.
Right.
Because they...
PR
nightmare.
Yeah.
And they did also actually announce, I think today or possibly yesterday, that Anakin Skywalker, I Don't Like Sand, episode 3, Anakid.
Yeah.
Well, Annie Man.
Manny Kid.
Manny Kid is on his way.
Is he?
Yeah.
Through the sand or... Is that why it's taking him so long?
Yeah, possibly. It's Russ and Korf.
Russ and Korf. It gets
everywhere.
Everywhere.
But the reason I've not been playing the Star Wars Buff 2 is because I've been playing a bit of old-fashioned CTR.
Oh, you've been playing that Crash Team Racing?
Yeah, really
Speaking
enjoying it.
Speaking of Nintendo, I think Crash Team Racing is better than Mario Kart.
Oh my
I think
God.
It's better than Mario Kart. But that's just me.
I think... and I think I'm right on my dates here that it came out after Diddy Kong Racing, right?
Okay.
I believe that's correct. And I realized for the first time just how derivative it is compared to Diddy Kong Racing, which had like an open world hub that you drive around.
Hey, they had that for the adventure mode of Crash Team Racing.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Team Racing is...
Oh, it's 100%. That looks nice. We'll do one of those, please. But it's so good, though.
Crash Team Racing
is so good.
It is, and they've cherry-picked the best things. So they didn't just like copy the fact that, oh, look, there are frogs bouncing around the hub world. They were like, no, we don't need to copy the frogs. One thing they did copy, which I love in video games, which is in CTR and Diddy Kong Racing, is adaptive music, where depending on what you're doing or where you are or like certain actions, the music that's playing in the background will continue to play, but it will change in some way.
Okay.
Which they had in the Spyro Reignited trilogy as well. Like when you go indoors, it suddenly goes all echoey and stuff.
Yeah.
And in Crash Team Racing, as you drive from one area to another in the hub world, from like, say, the temple to the medieval zone, all the instrumentation just gradually changes on the backing track.
I mean, that Naughty Dog. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
And they did that on the Diddy Kong Racing character selection screen.
Yeah.
It's playing this theme that's going along with like roughly the same melody, but if you move your selector onto a different character, it's being played with a different instrument that is associated with that character. I really like that.
That's
whole
awesome.
Thing. So yeah, just been enjoying some Crash Team Racing, getting ready for the upcoming remake.
I can't wait.
What have you been playing, Ben?
Peter, I have been without internet for 17 days.
Oh, of course you have.
And someone very helpfully in the comments said, why don't you just tether to your phone? That's how I use, you know, access the internet when I can't use my Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah, briefly.
In relation to downloading Metro Exodus, which is what I was talking about last time. I'm not going to down... My data contract is for 5 gigabytes. And if I look at a video...
Exodus?
I can't then use internet for the entire rest of the week. Metro Exodus is 40-something gigabytes, so that was never going to happen.
Right.
However, last weekend, I did come back into the office to not only do a little bit of work and tidy some things around in the downstairs studio, but I thought I'll brought my PS4 in my backpack, downloaded Metro Exodus, and then went home, and I have been playing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I was initially underwhelmed.
Yeah, I know. I saw your tweet.
I did a tweet. Some people took... almost umbrage to the fact that I was encountering some bugs, and I said that it wasn't very polished. And please allow me to clarify, because I have since gone on to actually really quite enjoy myself.
Good.
Because I was a big fan of Metro Last Light on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean by unpolished is that there's just like weird quality of life issues that you just tend not to see in... I'm hesitant to call this a AAA big budget game, but
right.
it is certainly a bigger budget game.
Well,
and it had a marketing push behind it.
Yeah.
Just weird things like when you're walking along, you frequently get stuck on scenery, like you need to sort of jump to get out of there.
Right.
As I've seen enemies, like the AI just freaks out sometimes, and I've had numerous glitches and a couple of crashes and stuff. Like,
well, I would say, not that I've played it, but it's not just that you don't expect that stuff in a sort of AAA game, but it's the fact that they brought it forward, which is that doesn't happen very often. Normally games are put back like sometimes 2 or 3 times in terms of release, but they brought it forward, which kind of implies it's done. We could like keep fiddling with it for a few weeks, but actually it looks fine. Mm. We'll release it, and then you're still having more bugs than you would expect from a first version.
I think that was mostly is that they brought it forward by a week, and also the opening is like not very good. And story wise, I love the concept in that you're finally leaving the metro tunnels of Moscow, and you're on a train and you're going across Russia, discovering new secrets and discoveries in one of our favorite countries.
Well.
One of the world's countries.
Yeah.
And I really like that because it's, you know, it's sort of a, we can go to several different destinations with completely different climates and different obstacles to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Different people live there of varying, you know, there's the cannibal place.
Oh, lovely.
The desert mutant place.
Oh,
you know,
lovely.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There's the demon infested frozen tundra place.
Lovely.
it's all really nice.
Yeah,
it
sounds
and
great.
I like that, but the dialogue is like it's really bad. And your wife, Anna, they play up this big thing. And also the crew that you're with as well, they play up this big thing about them all being friends and like they really want you to care about them. But the writing's just kind of rubbish. Like right. You hear someone with a Russian accent saying, "You've blown my mind. Nice one, man." And it's like, oh, that feels so weird. Why are they saying that? They're using all these Americanisms and slangs and stuff. And well, it's really strange.
We were talking to the What Culture. We've got a group chat with some guys from What Culture Gaming, haven't
yeah.
we?
And
we
yeah,
were
Jules talking and to Scott.
Jules and Scott this morning. And Scott said, so I don't know about this. Is it an option to have it with Russian voices switched on and subtitles underneath?
I'm assuming you can, yeah. But I'm having to look at the subtitles in English anyway.
Right.
Not because I can't understand them, but because it, again, another weird unpolished thing, is that it does that thing that games do sometimes where if you're not right next to the person who's talking to you and you turn slightly, you then can't hear
anything. It just goes
anything.
Like 100% panned
exactly.
to one
like,
side
so if
of
you're
your...
stood over one side of the room doing stuff and someone's trying to talk to you, it's like a faint echo. Like they're really far away. And I hate it when games do that.
And they have vodka.
It's exactly
That's
like
what
that.
Happens.
Yeah, so it's lots of small issues like that which make me feel like this just doesn't feel like it's properly been polished to the best of its ability.
Pop the Russian voices on, says Scott, if that is an actual option that
yes.
I've not looked into at all. And
I will consider it.
Feel more authentic, at least.
But I am really enjoying it. I like they've got various open worldy bits that like I've just done a deserty bit where I get there's a car-y bit
Ooh.
Where I get a nice little really the worst handling vehicle of any video game, and that comes from someone who likes Borderlands where you use the left stick to go forwards and backwards.
Oh,
and that is challenging. I got it stuck in a bit of scenery I got it stuck a few times.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that you only get one, you can't respawn it. If it gets stuck, you're kind of screwed.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do. I got it stuck sideways in a boat that had been, you know, shipwrecked.
Right.
On this desert. Yeah, I got it. So the boat was coming through the car. And every time I got into the car, it just made this racket, this like it was just freaking out, shaking all over
Collide
the place.
Collide3.wav on a loop.
Exactly. Eventually I got free, but the car still thought that I was meant to be like orientated 90 degrees because the car was sideways wedged.
Right.
And when I got it out, and so you can press the touchpad to bring out your map, which is a physical map that you take out. And when I took it out, his hands just went and like rotated all weird and scarecrow like 90 degrees, and I had to sort of turn. So there's lots of things like that that are really weird, but I'm really enjoying it, and I like the survival elements, and it gets way better once you get past the first couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the trouble, is that people don't necessarily have time. That there are so many amazing games that are brilliant from start to finish.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to take the advice of, well, if you can get past the first couple of hours, it's going to
be
exactly really
like
good.
I've not started playing it yet because just I don't really like to play more than one game at once. I know some people are fine with it, and I just wanted to just get CTR out of the way. I've basically finished it now, and then I was probably going to move on to Metro, but
yeah.
I have heard, not just from you, but just, you know, it's a bit of a grind just to get through, like you say, the first couple of hours. I don't know if I want to spend that time doing that when I've not yet played through Red Dead, or like,
yes.
you know, I've not finished
God of War and
God
stuff
of War. Exactly.
You got an amazing playlist.
I have.
But yeah, this is for exactly that reason. It's makes it a little disappointing that it was brought forward by a week. Like,
yeah
we're so confident that this is ready to go.
Cheeky.
But it is still really good, as I said. So I will report back next week when hopefully I will have finished it, because I don't think there's probably too much left.
Okay.
But that's what we play in.
Yeah, we play in. We're now going to have to try and sort of play a new game every week, so we'll have something to talk about, right? Is that how it works?
We'll always have something. We can talk about what we played on stream. There'll always be a way.
Yeah.
The incredible section, what we play in, will never be defeated.
No, because we'll always be playing.
We always play.
Players going to play.
Yes.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Peter, what question do we have next?
We have a question from Katie White. No, we don't. We have that's coming up. Stay tuned.
Skipped. Get ready, Katie White.
White leg.
Yeah.
Steve Wingfield submitted a question.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Steve. Steve asks us, what game have you wanted to play that was eventually cancelled?
Oh, Ben. There's so many.
Take us away. I know. I was a bit stuck of what to choose here. But.
I was immeasurably excited to learn that Free Radical Design were working on Time Splitters 4.
Yeah.
And then heartbroken when they defecated haze out into the world. We should definitely play that on Worst Games at some point. It's a real bad one.
I just make us want to play
they,
Times Plays.
And then they died. Yeah. Haze killed Free Radical. Then Crytek bought Free Radical's licenses and stuff and brought on some of the staff, and they got Time Splitters. Then there was meant to be
a
Time Splitters remake of like Time Splitters 2 for PS3, potentially just the multiplayer. That was a rumor for a while. Then there was a fan remake going on that had Crytek's approval. Yeah, that's still happening. Mm. And now it's been bought by someone else. Who's got it now?
THQ, I think.
I think THQ Nordic now have it. You know, the guys who are buying everything.
Yeah. Who have, what was it?
70-something games development
at the
moment.
I knew it was almost 100. They've currently got 70-odd games in development. They literally do buy, they hoard. It's not even an exaggeration. I think that's part of their business model, is to just buy up IP.
Did you see, because they didn't really exist or operate before last year, did you see the percentage increase in their net earnings or something like that from 2017 to the end of 2018?
No.
It was up like several 100%.
Really?
Yeah, their value as a company. Right, so they're onto something.
Is it because of all the property they own?
It's entirely possible. But they did have a really good financial year last year in terms of making money as well as spending it. And I think I read that there are some like Class C shares, whatever those are, were agreed upon in the Scandinavian Nordic country where they are based.
Okay.
And
Nordic.
And so, yeah, you know, Nordic Nordland. And selling them generated something like 220 million currency.
Wow.
Which they are going to put straight back into buying more studios and licenses.
That sounds really dodgy, that they sold some Class C assets that were worth two
That's
million.
Very illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to...
Well, you get a warning on the street first,
Carrying a Class C
share. You get a single
caution. Yeah.
And then if you get caught again, you're coming with us.
I really think marijuana should be reclassified, not only as legal, but at least downgraded to a Class C share, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Because then we could all own Class C shares.
No, Nordic would buy them
all. Yeah, you're right. Nordic would buy all the marijuana.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a video game podcast. Peter, what did you want to play that was ripped from your breast?
Well, I'll quickly do just a name drop for Gotham by Gaslight. Are you aware of this? I said at the same time. Are you aware of those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a Batman game that was based on one of the comic books that I've not read, which is set, I believe, in Victorian England. It's like
steampunky stuff.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. I think it's sort of a non-canon kind of, I don't know, someone will correct me and say, it is actually canon, it did happen.
Bruce Wayne actually went there.
Yeah, so it's a steampunky Victorian Batman where he's like has a run-in with Jack the Ripper, which just sounds crazy. Basically, it sounds like what Assassin's Creed Syndicate could have been.
Yeah, if they just based the whole thing around what people actually cared about. Yeah, Batman. Assassin's Creed. Ubisoft just need to wake up and realize that what people want is not assassins.
No.
They want Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batman's Creed.
So that looked good. They released a little bit of gameplay for that, sort of probably alpha kind of stuff. Looked really nice. But one of the biggest ones that I mourn to this day is mentioned actually in a list that's coming up this week.
Can I predict it?
You can predict it.
Is it a Star Wars game?
It is a Star Wars game. Which one, though?
Is it 1313?
It is 1313.
Can I tell you before you continue?
Yeah.
This also deeply affected me.
Right.
To the extent that when I worked in retail, sometimes people would buy things and it would total £13.13. And every time I'd go, oh.
Oh, that's tragic.
It stuck with me that much.
I mean, the sad thing is that, as I say, that could have been one of many games. And in a list that's coming up this week on the channel, 10 cancelled Star Wars games you'll never get to play. Mm-hmm. There were more than 10. I had to sort of skim it down.
Yeah.
I could have done about 14.
But what was the most cancelled game?
Yeah, well...
the cancellist one.
1313 isn't even actually number one in that list, spoilers.
Oh,
but it's the 13th, one I want to talk about. It is, yeah. That was not just a concept that sounded great, but there was some actual gameplay released. It was sort of it was one of those kind of Uncharted or Last of Us style integrated, where a cutscene just becomes gameplay and gameplay becomes a cutscene, just completely seamlessly. Mm. And it really looked like it could have been a Naughty Dog-esque Star Wars game,
was a bounty hunter game, right? Was
you weren't necessarily. I don't think we knew necessarily if you're a bounty hunter, but there were these guys, probably bounty hunters, who were going inside Coruscant, the planet-sized city.
The French patisserie.
Yeah.
Croissant.
Croissant.
With jam and butter.
There were these holes, like donuts from the patisserie,
yeah.
You could go down into the greasy underbelly of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sounded really exciting. I think one of my favorite things about Star Wars is the sort of the criminal underworld involved. You know, like Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi is super cool. Mm. So a whole game that almost had a kind of Nathan Drake protagonist and gameplay style, that just sounded like a match made in heaven. And then I believe the reason it never happened is just because with the Disney buyout, they just didn't carry on.
I think from what I understand, it was the last game that George Lucas approved before he got the boot sold everything. He got the George Bootus from Disney's.
Yeah.
It was just so crazy that they announced it with this comprehensive gameplay trailer and then just went,
No.
What's that? An adult, interesting Star Wars game. And that sounds like the direction that Amy Hennig's...
I was just about to say.
Visceral game was going to go.
Yeah.
What was it called?
It had the codename Ragtag.
Yeah, the working title was Ragtag. And that was a linear first person, or not necessarily first person, but a linear...
Third person, I think. Again, it was going to be Uncharted style.
Story. Yeah, exactly, which would have been great. But EA cancelled it, and their reasoning was that they didn't like the narrative focus that they went for, the single player focus, because they want to monetize it in as many ways as possible.
Yeah.
Get as many players in there as possible and just sort of water it all down. There's something, God of War proved, there's something to making a really good single player game.
So then what they did was they actually kept a couple of concepts from Ragtag after it was cancelled and moved them across into the Star Wars multiplayer game that they were going to do, like an online, you know, that was cancelled last month. So those things survived into an online multiplayer game, which probably ticked more boxes in their business plan, where they could probably do all sorts of cosmetic items and things like that. And then that got cancelled. And now the only thing that's still in development, I believe, and actually I think this is going to come up later in one of our discussions based on some notes that I have, is the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which sounds to me like it's going to be a linear narrative-based Star Wars game.
God,
like, want? Want linear narrative or not?
I don't know. I really think that... I just hope that the big publishers take a good look at what... not only Nintendo are doing, but obviously what PlayStation have been doing for the past 5 or 6 years. And oh my God, these games are winning all the awards.
Exactly.
Rockstar's winning all the awards. And yes, they've got an online component sometimes. But like, there's something to be said for this. And awards don't necessarily make you money.
No.
But they certainly really garner you positive feelings.
Pay off in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. Like people will long talk about... I'm not going to talk about the multiplayer game I played 6 years ago for 2 months.
Exactly.
It's a story that sticks with you.
We still would bring up something like Horizon or Hellblade or, you know, God... these are recent ones, but God of War and Spider-Man. You know, these are hot topics, and even the ones from a year or 2 years ago are still hot topics because they do stick with you. The Last of Us, I mean, that's... How old is that? How old is Uncharted 1 and The Last of Us? They go back to PS3.
Yeah.
And they're still... You know, you bring them up in a discussion like this because they're good games.
They were watershed moments for video games.
And
EA definitely have the resources to do that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So. Anyway, those are the games that that we wanted to play that were cancelled.
Mm.
It's time for another segment, Peter.
It's weird news.
Peter Austin.
Yes.
It's weird news time.
Oh, it's about to get weird.
Peter, what weird news have you brought for me today?
Let me just
shuffle your papers and then take out your phone.
Yep. I have brought... So the weird news segment, if you watched or listened last week, is where we talk about weird or funny news.
Mm.
Now, I brought a story that I think is objectively quite funny, if a little bit of a facepalm moment. It's kind of like you have to laugh because it's quite depressing.
Oh, great.
Now, there's another side to this coin that is not remotely funny, but I think it is actually worth talking about. So I just want to be on record that the second half of this segment of my submission is not funny.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And I don't think it's funny, okay?
Okay.
But let's begin with the harmless, no children were harmed in the making of this funny
excellent
news.
Yes, love that one.
The state of the YouTube gaming scene regarding child abuse.
Okay, this sounds fun already.
Well, according to Kotaku, you may have heard that three popular Pokemon YouTubers all reported that their entire channel had been taken down after uploading Pokemon Go videos. You know about this, don't you?
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Now, we'll get onto the reason why shortly. Mm. But, you know, that sounds like quite a headline.
Mm.
They were wrong. YouTube were wrong to do this. And the accounts were restored. But this was thanks to external pressure. Because not only had the account YouTube accounts been taken down of these YouTubers, but their Gmail accounts. Therefore, they were unable to get in touch
they just
with YouTube.
Got just blacklisted.
Just completely ghosted by YouTube.
Wow.
Now, it turns out the reason these videos were removed was because all the titles were something like Pokemon Go, how to get some really good CP. CP standing for combat points in the game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, YouTube's ridiculous policy of just blanket flagging things and taking stuff down for no reason thought that CP stood for child pornography.
Pedophiles ruin everything.
Pedophiles do just ruin literally everything. Now, of course, there was no child pornography involved in these videos.
No.
Trainer Tips, one of the three channels who were revoked temporarily, tweeted and said, "In case anyone at Team YouTube is taking notes on today's mishap, CP stands for combat points. I'm on board with fighting back against inappropriate content, but your algorithm needs a lesson in context.
Yes.
Also, just to reiterate, manual review by a human before termination."
Yeah, you would have thought that would be a no-brainer, right?
I mean, this is how I feel about, you know, again, I'm not against trying to protect people's copyright, you know, copyrighted property or protecting children from abuse and stuff like that. That's obviously a very valiant thing to do. It's the right thing to do. But maybe just make sure a human being is involved in these decisions before literally taking a channel down off the air.
But this is just the latest in a long line of questionable tactics YouTube is using to keep advertisers happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as content creators on YouTube, rely on advertisements.
Yeah, we do.
Thankfully, there are other avenues that we can now explore to support ourselves, like merchandise. Here's a mug. And also Patreon and things like that. But advertising is so important. And then the thing that you told me this morning, the fact that YouTube are thinking of potentially introducing, or are they actually introducing?
Well, this is where the second side of my story
goes. Go ahead.
The reason for what you're about to say, which is that YouTube are now, if there are bad comments that like break the terms of service on your video, then your video will have the ads removed from it.
That is insane. Given that YouTube's whole fuss that they've kicked up recently about people like dislike bombing videos, yeah, as they learned firsthand with their YouTube
Rewind.
Well,
that's the only
video.
Reason they brought it up is because people did it to their YouTube Rewind, I think. Well, so they're like, oh, yeah, dislike bombing is a real thing.
So they know that this happens.
Yeah.
So what's to stop people from comment bombing,
yeah,
other channels that they don't like? Like someone, two YouTube channels are feuding because that's apparently a thing.
Yeah.
And someone says, right, go attack Castle B and just post CP over and over, yeah, again. Go post about combat points, it, right, all up in their comment section.
Yeah.
And then they get all of their videos. What? That's insane. That's just rife for abuse. That's just ripe, sorry, for abuse.
Like, it is.
People can just take such advantage of that.
No, it's mad. Like the whole situation is just bizarre. It's just handled in the wrong way. Like I say, the reasoning is fine. Like, we don't want that kind of stuff to happen, but don't. Just the way that YouTube is trying to combat these things is mad. It's a bit like how I saw, she says, from Boundary Break, did a retweet the other day of someone who'd uploaded a video talking about Hasbro toys for, yes, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. All they did was talk about it, I believe. There was not a single second of footage or music from the film. Universal claimed the video.
Or a company on Universal's behalf.
Yeah, well,
I think that's,
yeah,
part of the problem is that
even
lots
so,
of
though,
companies...
Universal have no right to,
well,
that,
no,
video.
They don't have any right. But again, like this is why it's being abused, isn't it? Because,
yeah,
they've discovered that videos with big views relating to anything pertaining to their copyright, they can employ subsidiary companies,
yeah,
to just go in there and claim all these videos. And it's so stacked in the claimant's favor that the content creator can't really fight it because YouTube doesn't help them.
No.
So people just have to take down their videos and completely re-upload them,
yeah,
like changed, or completely remake videos.
It's terrible.
Or just take the video down, because otherwise, you know, what's the point? You know, it's great putting stuff out there for people to see. And of course, there's a creative satisfaction that comes from getting eyes on something that you've made.
Yeah.
But money is surely one of the biggest motivators there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect people to keep making this stuff if they're not financially remunerated for it. Otherwise, they can't afford to.
No, I was saying yesterday to an Uber driver, actually, that it's just so... It's frustrating as a creator that YouTube has such a monopoly, because you can't... It's starting to get to the point where you can go elsewhere, but certainly, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when this stuff was still happening back then as well, just problems in general with,
yeah,
how they treat creators, there wasn't really an alternative then. I mean, Twitch is becoming more and more of an option, I think, but it's pretty much stream heavy, isn't it? People are trying to use it in a more YouTube style way, but
yeah, debuting, yeah, videos on it and streaming,
yeah, exactly,
something that they've made and stuff. But I don't know if that actually violates terms of service, because you're technically not really playing a,
yeah,
game, are you?
I don't,
so that,
know.
I don't
Who's
think
to
there's
say?
A they might introduce something. If they introduced what's it called, like you already have like a video library kind of thing with past streams on it, if you could upload videos to
they
your
should
Twitch
just
channel,
do that.
They would. Things would change overnight.
They would.
I really think they would.
So just to quickly get to the slightly worse side to this story.
Good,
as
yeah,
as I did some digging. Just to, you know, for you to follow on to with a really horrible tone to deal with. And to actually take it back to gaming, is that Epic Games,
yeah,
have pulled Fortnite ads from all YouTube videos, right?
Right.
And this is in response to what the YouTube's idea of the abusive comments system is in response to as well, which is apparently that YouTube's algorithm is basically allowing actual paedophiles to just get into this lovely recommended loophole of basically softcore pornography on YouTube.
What?
So Matt Watson, various people have sort of addressed this story in the past week, but there's a guy called Matt Watson on YouTube who does some quite good breakdowns of YouTube's terrible policies.
Okay.
And he shows that if you create a fresh account on YouTube and then you type in something that is essentially softcore child porn, which is something like my gymnastics stretches or whatever,
okay,
and find a horrible, horrible video, then because you have no other YouTube history on your account, YouTube's algorithm basically says, oh, you want to watch videos that people who watch this video also watch. And
right,
there are rings of paedophiles on YouTube who are re-uploading videos like this of kids eating ice lollies and
oh
stuff.
My
it's,
God.
It's horrible.
Right.
And they're all filling the comments with timestamps and stuff. And the algorithm, because that's all you've watched on YouTube, then just feeds you videos that other like-minded people
right.
have been watching.
Sort of like the Netflix recommended thing.
Pretty much.
People who watch this also watch.
Yeah, and Epic Games were aware of this and have pulled ads as a result of it.
God, I don't blame them, really.
This guy, Matt Watson, who does a breakdown on YouTube, says that he saw plenty of big-name companies attached to having ads, pre-roll ads on videos like this, including Disney.
Yeah.
So as a result, plenty of companies are now backing out of YouTube ads again. It's a second wave of this whole
KitKat,
thing.
Yeah, KitKat. I saw KitKat also pulled out.
And YouTube also have put an algorithm in place that when weird, dodgy comments, as like similar to the ones found on these videos, are now being placed on videos, ads are being disabled on the video automatically, which is fine. That's a good right. thing, I suppose. But that implies that YouTube know that this thing is happening. Mm. And their policy when they see that dodgy comments are underneath dodgy videos is to just disable ads rather than like maybe...
Yeah, ban this person.
Maybe ban this person.
Yeah.
So it's just a complete mess.
That is a total mess.
It's horrendous.
Wow, now I feel much sadder than I did before.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you so much,
I thought
Peter.
It needed talking about. I think it's an important issue.
Yeah, well, while we're on the topic of YouTube, definitely. Mm. We should... now it's been said, though... And we all know it.
Yeah.
We can't not know that information. And it's time to move on with our lives.
Yeah.
You ready to hear my weird news?
I am.
It's not about combat points.
Okay.
You'll be pleased to know.
That is good.
So, I don't know if you're aware of a video game called Fortnite.
I am vaguely aware of this Fortnite, yeah.
The Evening Standard reports, the creators of Fortnite have launched legal proceedings against the organizers of a scam Fortnite live event, which was compared to Fyre Festival. Fyre Festival, of course, being the disastrous,
yeah.
very expensive festival people went to that was just horribly organized and dreadful.
So I've not heard about this legal proceedings, but I've heard about this terrible festival, and I can't wait to hear your...
Okay.
Description of it.
So, Exciting Events, so they're called,
yeah.
Ran the event, which was slammed by parents whose children were forced to queue for hours to use overpriced and underwhelming attractions. Mm-hmm. The Guardian says, and I suppose you want to know what those underwhelming attractions are. I know some of them, but yeah. There was only space for four children to practice archery simultaneously and one climbing wall tower, which could accommodate three climbers for the estimated 2,800 people at the event. God. We now return to the Evening Standard, who posted a photo that someone took of merchandise at the event. You can see there, cocaine and caviar, it says on this beanie hat.
Beanie hat.
There's the weed symbol there.
With a flag.
So that's the... It also said, parents were shocked that drug-related merchandise was being sold at a children's event. Before we go on further, basically what this sounds like is just a crap fun fair that someone has branded as an unofficial Fortnite event.
Using the official logos, though, mm-hmm. and branding, I
yep.
heard. Yeah.
Tickets for the event at the Norfolk Showground Arena started at £12, with wristbands for activities costing an additional £20.
Whoa.
And many spent hundreds getting to the arena near Norwich. Of course... People take the Michael out of Fortnite and its player base being children, but it's essentially in its sort of rabid I can't even think of the following.
Right.
It's like a new Minecraft. Like,
yeah.
Kids love this thing.
They love it. And
so
that's fine.
They're absolutely just taking advantage.
Yeah.
Of you know, parents wanting to do something nice for something, you know, that their kids really care about. And
it's
passionate
that thing,
about.
Like the parents, me and you might have thought ahead of time, this is predictably going to be...
Exciting Events presents.
Yeah, whereas a parent might just think, oh, there's a Fortnite festival in Norfolk.
Oh.
Jimmy will love this.
Not just Norfolk, though.
No?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Renee Greenwood... which is a great name.
Rini.
Whose husband took their 12-year-old son and his friends to the event, said that she had no sympathy for the organisers and isn't expecting a refund.
Oh.
An Epic Games spokesman said, the quality of our player experience is incredibly important to us, whether it's inside the game or at official public events like last year's Fortnite Pro-Am, or Pro-AM, I don't really know what it is.
Okay.
Epic Games was not in any way associated with the event that took place in Norwich, and we've issued a claim against the organisers in the High Court of London.
Ouch.
The two remaining events were set to take place in Spalding and Newark, but have been cancelled, predictably. And the event firm immediately ceased trading on Tuesday after Epic Games confirmed they had issued a claim in the High Court.
Oh,
so, Exciting Events, I haven't got any in here, but in the original article, which we will link to all the articles we've talked about today in the description, as per your comments last week. That was one of the suggestions, which is a very good one.
Yeah.
If you guys want to have a look yourselves. But there was a real sob story press release put out by Exciting Events. Like, we tried really hard. Like, we worked tight. There was a small error at the gates, which took people a little while to get in. Like, and people were working really hard to try and fix it. It's like, you actively ripped off not only your customers, but also a very popular copyrighted thing. And claimed it as your own and tried to make money off it.
They said initially they were saying it was I think the day after, sort of, great success. Thank you to everyone who turned up. It was a brilliant day. And then loads of comments were in this photo or tweet or whatever it was from adults, parents saying, my child asked, they wanted to leave. Like, you expect the parents to kind of be getting bored and thinking, I hope the kid wants to go soon. The child was asking the parents,
I want to go home and play Fortnite.
Exactly.
Because there's only four children can do archery at once.
Yeah.
And three climbers.
Out of 3,000 children. There was dance competitions as well, I believe.
Were there? See, I couldn't quite find a definitive listing of quite how bad this was.
Right.
People were just describing the lawsuit and the backlash.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds absolutely dreadful. I can't remember the exact wording, but I think it was promoted as the ultimate Fortnite event in the UK.
Wow.
So well done, guys. And if you went or knew someone who went, please let us know in the comments below how that went down, because it
sounds
amazing.
Yeah.
Peter, that's the end of Weird news.
Weird news.
Just time for a quick third question before we move on to the big discussion.
Is it from Katie Whiteleg?
It is from Katie Whiteleg, as we alluded to earlier, and also kind of from Tom Price.
Oh.
Katie Whiteleg says, and these are all patrons, fine, upstanding people, bit of a random one, but Nier Automata, or Automato, is my ultimate fave game and the one that makes me genuinely emotional. Wow. I wish I could forget it entirely so I could experience it all over again. Do any games make you feel this way? If you could also tell me how you feel about Nier Automata in general, I'd be super happy. And Tom Price also asks, if you could wipe a game from your memory to replay fresh, what would you choose? I've heard so many amazing things about Nier Automata, but I've never played it.
Me neither, no. I just remember it came out, I think it came out roughly the same time as Neo. NIOA.
Yes, it was very confusing time.
And it was just
a
strange thing. They were both games that I looked at and thought, I'm not at the moment very interested in that. And they both just came out with similar names, and I had a similar attitude towards both of them. But apparently they're both good. So good.
Yeah, I've heard
Do you have a game that you wish you could wipe from your memory?
Mass Effect 2 was a huge one that was just incredible when I first played it through.
Like,
I'd been anticipating that game for so long, had never been able to play Mass Effect 1 because I didn't have an Xbox.
Right.
Mass Effect 2 was coming to PS3 finally, and it had this special comic at the start, sort of interactive comic at the start.
Okay.
That let you make decisions from the first game.
Oh, yeah.
So you could just sort of continue on.
That's good.
And I'd been watching Firefly for the first time as well.
Right.
On the lead up to it. I was like, I really want to have an adventure in space
just
with all
a
my
big
buddies.
Space opera.
I was obsessed with that game.
Mm-hmm.
I played it through, and every time I came back from going anywhere, I would go to all levels of the Normandy ship and speak to every single NPC just to see if there was any new information. Like, I haven't played a game for a long time that I genuinely cared about all of the characters that I was interacting with. So Mass Effect 2 would be my, if I had to pick one, Mass Effect 2 would be that one.
Okay. I think for me, in a kind of different way, I know you, Katie asked about emotional, but Tom Price just says, what game would you like to replay fresh? Mm-hmm. I would love to replay Condemned Criminal Origins fresh.
Oh my goodness.
We were talking about this the other day, weren't we?
We need to stream that, I think.
We do. I think, like, the atmosphere and the sense of vulnerability in that game is amazing. Mm. And I think with any game, almost, like, once you've played it through, you feel less vulnerable the second time round because you know, like, I'm probably going to be okay. I know how to handle these guys better than I did when I first started this game last time round.
Yeah.
And it's hard to replicate that same emotion. I think I felt a similar thing in Resident Evil 4 as well, like entering into the village. It felt like some kind of B-movie horror film from, like, the 70s, like The Village of the Damned or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoy, I think both of those games, actually. I'd like to go back and play those without the confidence that I now have going into them, because they're both up there as some of my favorite games, but I can't ever experience them the same way again now if I replay them. Condemned is set in like underground, abandoned like underground tunnels, subway stations. There's like an asylum level. There's an old school that's like abandoned. And most of it is the combat is actually using melee weapons, and it's all first person.
Oh, it sounds really, really stress-free, carefree adventure.
Yeah, you occasionally come across a gun that has like three bullets in it, and you're like, oh, thank God. But like, you're mostly almost nose-to-nose with like these junkies and like just horrible, horrible people.
Wow.
And it's scary, but it was just so atmospheric, and I love the whole aesthetic, really. So I'd love to play those fresh. But
thank you very much, guys, for your questions. It's time for the big discussion.
The question.
Peter Austin.
Yeah.
Anthem. It's released this week.
Yeah.
And it's not been reviewed incredibly well.
BioWare have done it again, haven't they?
We go to Ross Bramble and Ginny, both phenomenal Patreon supporters.
Thank you.
What can BioWare do to save Mass Effect? Do you think that the future of Mass Effect and possibly the future of BioWare and possibly Mass Effect, for that matter, rides solely on the response to Anthem. Mm. And they asked similar questions, but I think I didn't put one of their questions in. The basic gist is BioWare have sort of had kind of back-to-back stinkies, and EA love to kill off a studio. So really, what can BioWare do to save BioWare?
Well, I mean, I would go straight in with, in response to the second part of that question, do you think that the fate is resting solely on the response to Anthem? I would say no, it probably isn't. I think it's resting on the response to Anthem and the response to Mass Effect Andromeda. You know, they, like you say, they've had two back-to-back stinkies. And EA, if they're perfectly happy to close Visceral, of all people...
Yeah, who, by all accounts, there's still nothing that's come out that's explained why that happened.
No,
there didn't seem to be any reason for it.
I mean, I was sort of going off Dead Space a bit, but I think they were probably still fairly well-made games by Dead Space 3.
In the list that went out this past week about 10 studios we tragically lost, Visceral actually did bounce back after... They did Dead Space 3, which wasn't as good.
Okay.
Then they produced a Army of Two game, which was real plops. Mm-hmm. But then they bounced back again and did Battlefield Hardline, which was really well received.
Yeah,
and then they were then they moved on to Star Wars.
Right.
And by all accounts, that was going well, and people were excited, and there was a lot of hype. Excited. And then they just killed it.
Yeah.
So no one's safe.
If EA are happy to close someone like Visceral or to cancel games that people are so excited about and there's positive online response to these things, then what on earth is going to happen in response to the mediocre kind of reviews that are coming out for Anthem following what happened with the launch of Andromeda?
Yes. It's actually worse reviewed than Andromeda so far, at least the Metacritic average. So only got PC reviews at the time of recording, because there's various early access nonsense involved with the EA their EA early access scheme or EA access. So some people get access to it earlier than others. But review-wise, we only have the Metacritic score for PC.
Okay.
So that's worth bearing in mind. But it currently sits at 62. Oh. And the Mass Effect Andromeda for PC was 72. Now, of course, neither of those scores mean it's the worst game ever.
No, absolutely not.
We've played significantly worse. It's highly polished. It probably plays very well. It's got a decent gameplay loop. But when you're putting in that much money and developing for so long, let's see, I actually noted it down here. It
was 6 years, I believe.
It was development began in 2012 after Mass Effect 3.
Mm.
And it got delayed as well along the way. It's just not good enough, especially when this is so transparently not... I'm hesitant to call it a Destiny clone, but certainly it's trying to compete with Destiny. And Destiny has its critics, but you can't deny that the core game is really solid.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's just not happened here at all.
Well, it also comes down to, like you say, it's not necessarily the worst game ever. And I even wonder, like, if a kind of new studio had brought this out, you might think, okay, well, it's not a bad attempt. Like, maybe just, they should have spent a bit longer on it.
Mission Fail, we'll get it next time,
right? Exactly. But BioWare have such a pedigree. And
they do.
It's like a fall from grace, really. I thought it was quite interesting. I was reading an article. Actually, I'm afraid I can't cite who this was, but they just happened to note in this article about BioWare that the logo changed in 2018 from the one that they had way back in 1998 when they did Baldur's Gate.
Right.
And it was kind of indicative of like the whole thing like that was about to happen to them.
BioWare is dead, long live BioWare.
Yeah, it sort of shows like the period of change or even just sort of tragedy after tragedy that they're about to be going through.
Well, you even saw that Mass Effect kind of dropped off a little bit with Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Because various important people have left over the years, the sort of the core people that made BioWare. Mm. They've had lots of different studios, sort of subsidiaries along the way that have come and gone. And I think it was BioWare Montreal who developed Mass Effect Andromeda, and they've since merged with another EA studio. So they've essentially, they're not going to be doing any more of that. They're not called BioWare anymore. BioWare Edmonton is the original studio, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. They're still going. There's BioWare Austin as well, who are working on Star Wars The Old Republic and things like that. But the two of the sort of surviving founders in 2012, once Mass Effect 3 had shipped, and obviously there was all sorts of controversy with the ending of that game and just the quality of it as a whole.
Right.
Like, I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2, yeah.
We had Ray Mazika, I believe, and Greg Zeshuk, who were the two of the remaining co-founders of BioWare. They left shortly after. There was also what's his name? Casey Hudson, who was the creator of the Mass Effect series. He left BioWare in May 2014, and that was 2 years after Anthem had begun development.
Yeah.
So he left at that point. Drew Karpyshyn, lots of interesting names. Drew Karpyshyn, who previously worked on Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2, did apparently contribute to the story of Anthem, and you can kind of see that in the open beta that they put out.
Right.
I don't know if you played that.
I didn't actually, no.
But I did, and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
But in that short time, they are just... It's not a game that lends itself to lore and story just by the nature of how it plays. And it's just chucking exposition at you constantly.
Yeah.
So you can tell they're really trying, but it just doesn't work.
I've heard that you go off, you play a mission out in the wilderness, and it can be visually a bit of a spectacle, actually, sometimes.
Flying with the sun and stuff all around you.
Yeah, but as well as the various bugs that we've sort of come to just expect now from big budget releases on
it has
on
to release launch. This day.
Yeah.
It has to.
As well as all that, like you play through what can quickly become some fairly inane gameplay, especially in the first couple of hours when you're new to the game.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the base or whatever it is, and then there's just a cutscene that's filled with dialogue, and that progresses the story. And then you go out on a mission and do the whole thing again, and like
in the same areas. I mean,
I can't speak, but like I'm told, or I've read, that the story pretty much only progresses in any kind of interesting way in cutscenes between missions. You know?
Right. There are also numerous loading screens that take far too long.
Mm-hmm.
They put you back into the same areas over and over again. And I know Destiny does that too.
Right.
But again, as we mentioned earlier, there's a core solid foundation to Destiny that keeps players wanting to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily here. I also don't know if people who haven't played it are aware that the javelins, the awesome suits that you fly around in, they've got a big old cooldown timer on them. You can't fly around in them forever.
Heard
you fly
that.
For a bit, and then you have to you have to land for a while. You do build up the meter again, or you slow it at least by diving.
Diving to
kinda
cool
like
down, yeah.
Batman.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're having to dive to cool down your future jet suit, that's not fun.
Mm.
That's not fun at all. I want to fly around in my jet suit.
Yeah.
That's part of the appeal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, you think back, the last kind of critically acclaimed game, I think, was probably Dragon Age Inquisition, right? That did 80s,
yeah,
I think.
That was good. I enjoyed Dragon Age Inquisition, but even that, some fans of Dragon Age were like, something's wrong.
Well, yeah, and then after that, in 2014, they announced Shadow Realms, mm-hmm. Realms, I think, plural, which, bizarrely, I think it was at Gamescom, was initially announced with a live-action trailer, which was just cut together with people in like dark streets, just live action and nothing else.
Yeah.
Then they did show some gameplay. I didn't particularly think it looked that exciting. I think some people were interested in it. But then that got cancelled. And since then, we've just had Andromeda and this.
Yeah, and it's not been a great run. And as we said, EA do have a penchant for closing studios for no reason. But
yeah.
Really, it seems like BioWare are giving them more and more of a reason to do it.
Mm.
And, you know, I really don't know what the future holds for them. They've got two studios still, but under the name BioWare.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was surely the big shot, the big chance at redemption here. This is 6 years in the making.
Yeah.
BioWare games don't come around all the time.
No.
It's not good at all. Like, not criticizing the company necessarily, but like in terms of their future, you know, looking forward.
What are the prospects?
It doesn't look great.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
I mean, like you compare them to someone like Respawn, for example, who
yes.
You can kind of make the parallel for because Respawn are developing for EA doing Star Wars.
And also, just to cut you off quickly,
yeah.
They are made up, or at least it were initially predominantly made up of former Infinity Ward staff.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking about lots of people leaving BioWare, the original creative core of it.
Yeah.
And that is a similar thing that happened with Infinity Ward when they all moved to Respawn.
Well, yeah, and one of BioWare's original like big hitters from years ago, before the Dark Times, before the Empire, was Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes,
right? That's one of those games, as I said earlier on, that just still comes up in conversation when you're talking about good, you know, big moments in gaming.
Mm.
Knights of the Old Republic is fondly remembered.
Yeah,
Respawn, you know, Apex Legends has just come out. And that's doing pretty well.
It's doing great.
And now they're working on Jedi Fallen Order. And it's difficult to know how EA... Do you know, I kind of think, like, I don't want BioWare to now be closed down
no.
as a result of this.
That would be a real shame. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of jobs at stake.
Of
well
course, yeah. But I'm just saying that if it isn't closed down as a result of this, then I won't have any idea how EA are even making these decisions. Going back to Visceral.
It's baffling anyway,
yeah.
Isn't it? But yeah, the market trend shows that things are not looking great for BioWare right now.
Yeah, and despite their excellent efforts with not just Knights of the Old Republic, actually, but Star Wars The Old Republic, that MMO that they did,
yes,
BioWare.
Yeah.
Director John Warner, talking to Polygon, said that at the moment, EA aren't offering them any kind of Star Wars stuff.
Really?
Despite all these Star Wars projects being cancelled.
And the pedigree as well of BioWare.
And the pedigree,
exactly.
You know? So, yeah, it's all up in the air at the moment. We'll have to see how it goes. Mm. But, you know, it's not looking good. If they're closing Visceral over for no reason, apparently, then what are they going to do in response to this?
Absolutely. And, of course, there are going to be people out there who are really looking forward to Anthem and played the beta and early access stuff and loved it and are going to love the game. I personally didn't like it. Peter hasn't played it.
No.
We are, of course, just talking about the situation that the developer BioWare currently finds themselves in. We're not talking... we're not talking down the game or saying it's crap or anything.
No, we just know that other people, generally, according to review aggregators, it's not performing well.
Exactly. So. We're going by the facts that we've got available to us. Yeah. And given the past run of EA's close-happy attitude, it's not looking great.
No.
Which is a real shame. But there we go. That was our big discussion. Please do let us know what you think down in the comments below. Are you looking forward to Anthem? Did you play Anthem and not like it? What do you think the future for BioWare is? Are we ever going to get another Mass Effect game?
If you want to submit questions, either for the big question or the smaller questions that we talked about earlier on in the podcast, you can do so if you're a patron by going to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/team-triple-jump. There are also other rewards there, like seeing Worst Games Ever 2 days early.
Oh, yes.
And... merchandise.
So this is just a little. This is a little tiny sample. Where I know some people are at a tier that they get an awesome goodie bag that has like a magnet and some stickers and other various fun things like that. We've got
signed photo.
We've got most of those through to the office now. We're just waiting on a couple more bits and pieces, and then those will be shipped to you as soon as possible. So please stand by for those
exclusive T-shirts you can get, and we've signed some real, actual Worst Games Ever copies that we've held in our hands, and they go out to a certain tier as well. It's all very exciting.
Yes, it's wonderful, and thank you to all of you for supporting us across the board. It's only week 2, and I'm feeling sexy and free.
Me too. Like, glitter's raining on me.
like a shot of pure gold.
Yeah, I think I'm about
do you
to
know the, oh, you do know the next line. I was going to say, we're just playing chicken until one of us doesn't know what comes next. I don't know what's coming next.
No.
Peter, where can they find us to support us in various places?
Well, it's everything, pretty much, / Team Triple Jump. That's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook,
YouTube
is the important one. Well, they might be on there at the moment, hopefully. But yeah, if you're listening on MP3, you can go to YouTube, Team Triple Jump.
Website?
Website is triplej.merp, where we have a store and we have a little careers page looking for writers and maybe other things going forward. But yeah.
And the Discord as well, if you'd like to join that, bit.ly, also / Team Triple Jump. And the website, if you didn't understand it, triplju.mp. All of those links are in the description. Anyway, just to bring you up to speed, there are lists every Tuesday and Thursday on the channel, streams every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday on the Twitch. Worst Games.
3 PM GMT.
They are. Stay tuned to our Twitter for more information about that. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. The week that this releases is actually a Worst Games Ever week. So please be excited for that.
Yes.
There's, as you said, Patreon goes out on Friday. People can see it on the Friday. Yeah. And everybody else gets access to it on the Sunday. Mm. And the podcast is every Saturday, as you know, if you're listening to us on Saturday. Peter, I think that's all.
That's literally everything.
A wonderful second episode in the bag. Once again, we are trying to get this on audio platforms, and all of the past episodes, however many we get up to before we get on those platforms, will be uploaded there so you can listen via audio if you fancy. In fact, you may be listening to it now in the future.
In long and distant future. Are BioWare still going? Let us know.
Yeah, tell us. No. Just send us an unsolicited tweet that just says no. And we'll know what you're talking about. Thank you very much for...
We might forget.
We'll probably forget.
And then in a month's time, we'll be like,
what? Who's this joker? Who's this absolute clown?
Shut up. Blocked. Muted. Blocked.
Banned forever. Thank you very much for watching / listening to the Triple Jump podcast episode 2. We'll be back next week. Thank you for all your support. I have been Ben.
And I have been Peter.
And we'll see you / speak to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.